Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions.
We are living in a changing world. Let me say, true, genuine, God-given, heartfelt, in-depth is God's love. His love has influence far beyond human comprehension. It reaches far and wide, affects everybody it comes in contact with. God's love, it can span rivers and mountains and oceans and, my friends, anything it comes in contact with. God's love.
This week's message, which Dr. Williams titles, God Never Changes, comes from our powerful Father's Day program. He takes an in-depth look at the Father and the Prodigal Son. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. Join us at 8 a.m. for our early morning worship service, followed at 9:25 with Sunday school, and 10:15 our morning worship service, all happening at the Dr. Ephraim Williams Family Life Center right here on the St. Paul campus. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible, let's open them together to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 down through 31. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
I admired when I was able to grasp the significance of biblical writings.
Yes, sir.
That to detect for myself that Luke was not like the modern man. He wrote from a friend's academical standpoint and was guided theologically. If he'd have been like some people today, he wouldn't deal with that because he felt, or would have felt, his doctorate was above that. But even even he says, God bless you and God bless America. It's amazing about this God we talk about. And I wish you get it. It's amazing about him. He extends to you a hand of mercy. He extends to you a hand of love. And then he drops below all of that and gives you his grace. And yet we are so mean, we don't know how to accept it. Amen. I was sitting on the side of my bed, Brother Holmes, this would help you in the future. Last Sunday night, before I went to bed, I was meditating, and then I prayed, and then I meditated again, then I prayed for today's message.
All right.
Sunday night, you were watching some juju. Listen carefully today, it will help you. While I was praying, the Spirit whispered in my spirit and gave me a message and a subject. The subject dealt with men, fathers ought to become missionaries. Just because you dropped the baby in Louisiana doesn't mean you should go back and find them.
That's good teaching, Pastor.
Second, I'm studying and praying and worked on the notes. Then he gave me another message on the subject. And this one has to do with God never changes. You change it, but not God. I've had some good people that was kind to me and friendly and loving. As soon as something happened, they change. You see, that's why I said, and when I was in seminary, I told you about my text, I had difficulties with some professors. Now, you can be as splendid as you want to and as dynamic as you want to, but that word won't change for you. I said yesterday, somebody, I said, brother, you can't hide from God. You can go home in Meadowview or you can go in Tumzu. Wherever you go, God's presence is there. You can go under the truck in the back seat on the sixth floor of the hotel, but when you get through, God is there. So how can we sin and hide? You can sin all you want to, but you can't hide it. Let me put it another way. There's nobody who can pick up one of these flowers, right? You got a small one?
Here's one.
Well, I got a good man. He can pick up anything. Come up here. I want you to look at this. Look at this and hold it up so they can see it. You look at this. Because, see, that's why I know a lot of people don't know the Bible. They criticize. They don't know the Bible. Jesus used everyday illustration.
Everyday.
So people could get it. What's the good? I took 2 years of Greek. I don't talk to you about no Greek. You haven't been to Greek Street or Greek Avenue. Makes no sense. This is a live plant. It's alive. And it got some haze type stuff on top, I guess that's what you call it. But beneath that, it has some soil. Not just any kind of soil. Soil that to grow these flowers. But then after all of that, you have to do something. God's not going to give you the pot, the plant, the soil, and you don't do nothing that looks nice. That's not biblical or it doesn't make sense. He gives, you have to water it and you have to feed it. If you want it to be green looking like this, Mike, set that down. Now, come here. Now, let's just deal. See, that's another mistake we make. We don't want to deal with reality. Real life is not going nowhere. Amen. This man, look at him.
Yeah. Look at him.
He's handsome. He's tall. But he put something on all of that that makes him look better. You might as well tell the truth unless you can't see. But if he'd have just come out of the bed like he looked, you wouldn't even look at him. All of that has to do with God does not change. Thank you, Mac. Thank you. Now, here we have today, from the text point of view, we have Luke print, the 15th chapter.
Uh-huh.
Please, well, you don't have to stand. If you don't have no Bible, then bring with one in your pew. We bought it with your money. And when you take this one, we're going to buy another one. We want to make the word available for everybody. Get your Bible and turn to Luke's 11th chapter and verses, my friends. The 15th chapter, verse number 11 through 31. It's in Luke. That's what we're reading this morning. If you have a Bible, and don't be so mean you don't want to get your Bible. Then you're telling God, I don't want to hear what you have to say. That's what the Bible says. You may build great cathedrals, large or small. You can build skyscrapers, grand and tall. You may conquer all the failures of the past, but only what you do for Christ will last. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. Friends, this story, this guideline, these notes that Luke pens for us should be a lesson to help us, wake us up, speak to us. To all of the fathers in this church, watching me on television and listening to me on radio, I got myself in trouble with what I'm finna say to you. And I'll never change it, because it's in the Bible. If it wasn't biblical, I'd change it. Let me give you an illustration about it. There's a lady was sick. Some of you know her, but it's been so long, I won't call her name. I don't want to make your memory rise. So the lady was sick, and she had three daughters and a son. They lived in Sacramento. She was a middle class woman. That means she had money. So neither one of these sophisticated, educated daughters wanted to help her when she got into bed and couldn't get up. They didn't want, they're too cute. I don't want to help mama. And you see, the mistake that we, that's why I don't understand it, and I never will. I'm going to ask Jesus when I see him. That those crazy, educated, misinformed daughters didn't know that their mother was the one brought them in the world. She could have killed them. She'd have been in this stage, they most likely one of them would have got killed. The brother, he married a crazy woman, and she didn't want him to participate and help his mother. Now, I know you don't like me to talk about this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because the Spirit is leading me. I said to Mrs. Williams before I married her, I said, now, honey, I help. My mother and father has been gracious to me. So if they ever need me, I will help them. I didn't say, can I, because you're not my mother. I will help them. And I says, you have a mother, and I love her. So if she needs something, don't ask me. You know what we can afford. Help her.
Do it. That's right.
If she'd have said to me, no, when you marry me, you can't help your mother, I'd have said, hip it and skip it. There's no love even in heaven is that important. You gonna tell me I can't help somebody brought me in this world with your stupid self? With your hair curled crooked and upside down? No way under the sun that would ever happen to Ephraim. And then when her mother got ill, I said, bring her here and she can stay with us. You see, we talk this garbage about love. It's garbage. Real love is like this salt in this pot. All you got to do is water it. See, love is given to you, but you got to what? See, love, I think, an adverb? Love is action. You telling me you love me and talk about me, you lying to yourself and lying to God. It won't work. Now we're going to get where the rubber meets the road. Here is two young men. Uh-huh. This woman who the daughter didn't want to help. Uh-huh. And the son, the wife, wouldn't let him. Help me when church is over. How could you be 40 years old and your wife tell you what you can't do for your own mother? You need me to slap you side of your head five times. You didn't have no, you wasn't the one who had pain to get me here. And so what happened was when she made out her last will, she changed it. Because I know about it because I was a witness. She says, I want to put in the will that each one of my children will get $5 each. Now listen. And then she said, I'm going to. In the will, it would say, whichever one of you has helped me to the last, you would get 250,000. And those of you who didn't do anything when I needed you, now I don't need my money, so but it won't go to you. Listen careful. So a lady down the street, no education, that's what they said about her, didn't know much, country, went every day and gave the woman a bath, cooked for her every day, set up with her at night till 9 o'clock, and then she'd go home, and finally she moved in because the lady had nobody to stay with, and she had grandkids and she had kids. She had helped to send, she sent the, her husband sent her children to college, and they were helping the grandkids. So when she died, they raised all kind of sand, and they went to the lawyer's office, and he read the will. Les gets $5. Brenda gets $5. Pats gets $5. Miss Sims gets $5. And then they started raising hell. So the lawyer said, sit down and wait. We're not finished. Whoever assisted me to the last will get the house and my insurance and everything else I had. And they wanted to jump on this old woman, didn't know nothing, no education, but she took care of that woman. So when it was all over, they didn't get anything. Because they start bickering and arguing. This woman that didn't know nothing, no education, they said, she received $1.6 million plus a two-story house, and she was in her late 50s. She could ride back and get her a bus driver and hire you to drive for her. Don't be so critical about people who don't have academic training. Let me put it another way. My daddy, I don't talk about it a lot. A lot of you said that you did. I had a good father. My father was excellent, kind, low-key, but business. He drug myself and my brother with him when he's getting ready to build a house. I was 13. He said, you're good in math. And he wasn't. To make deals to build a house. I use the word, he drug us with him. People say, well, he didn't map it out. He don't have no money to build no house. When they dug in the ground with a foundation, they never stopped until we moved in. You can't look at a dog and tell if he'll bark or not. And a lie travels faster than you can tie your shoes. And for him not knowing nothing, couldn't do it, I still have 5 acres plus something that he left me. Only thing about it, I can't go back there because I'm not going to live with all that humility and heat. So you who are fathers, here is a father said like this woman, here's a son, and they're everywhere. Don't pretend this is a biblical story. They are in America, they're in Sacramento, and some of them are in this church. You think that you have an entitlement to what your mother and your father had. You don't have no entitlement. They want to give you something of their kind. They don't owe you nothing. They done grow you and grown you up and sent you to school and help you to get an education if you wanted it. Now you ought to do something with your own crazy self. So listen carefully. I've been with Daddy all these years, and he didn't even give me a goat. Didn't fix me no goat dinner. Didn't give me a goat party. Now, you might want to look at this theologically. It may be because his head was too hard. You know, goats have hard heads. So he may have described himself. And now your lost son spent his money, and the Amplified Bible says, on immoral women and the world. Now, see, that's telling the interpretation of the scripture. There's not a man in the, now listen careful, a man. There's not a man in this church, not one, haven't had a mind one time or another to go into a foreign country. Your foreign country could have been the back seat of your car, but you wanted to go. Or it could have been in your school behind the building. Or let me go over here, it could have been that big pine tree in Arkansas. But you had a mind to go somewhere. You didn't want to be in that home with your parents all your life. And some of us, we made different. Some of us wanted to go early. And if the truth were told, you went. And if the truth were told, you regretted it. And you had, help me, Holy Ghost, I need you. And then you had some brothers, Brother Les Holmes, some brothers would never have been there or left, but they had a sister on the wild side. She drug him out. And he was just glad to go. I can see him now. I can see him now. So don't be so hard on this young man who went in the street. And we go in the street and still let's stay at home. Now listen careful, friend. Half of the men that have been accused of no good, fathers, I personally believe is not the truth. And I've been working with people 60-something years. If you only really knew the other side. Let me put it another way. There's a man that last year had four kids. And he got put out of his house by his wife. That's what he says. So I listened to that. Then I wanted to meet with the wife and get her side. She was mean. She was mean talking to me. And then she cussed three or four times. I said, are you like that when you and your husband are discussing issues? She said, sometimes I get mad. See, you can get mad as you want to. But if the Holy Ghost lives in you, he'll stop you before you cuss. If he lives in you. So she put him out because she didn't like him working too much. Oh, Lord. Now and then she's turning the kids against him, and I tell children all the time, don't be critical of your daddy because your mother said he's no good. It may have been your mother wasn't right. And they got some women that are not right now and they won't be right next week. So quit, friends, you who are in this church, quit allowing folks to tell you how low down dirty your old dirty daddy was. You get the other side. Because you might be shocked to find out the whole story. Because the other side not going to tell you the whole story. I hate that. There's another story. Lady put her husband out because she said he bothered her too much. I don't know what that means in English, but that's what she said. But let me put it a way that I hope the Holy Ghost would help me today. When you get married to a real woman, when you get married to her, you can't bother her too much because she belongs to you. So if you go home and you tell her, stop cooking, come sit next to me, she need to come there and sit down. If she said, I'm tired, and you want to kiss her, you didn't marry her tiredness. She need to raise, open up. What in the devil I need you for? You don't want to love me? You don't want me to hug you? You don't want me to kiss you? You don't want me to go to church? You don't want me to spend no money? Get to stepping. So the brothers, church, listen carefully. Many good men have father children. They don't know where they are. Brothers, I recommend for you today, become a missionary. Try to find your offspring. And if you had a baby when you were 17, quit worrying about it now. Try to find the child and identify yourself. Let me give you something happened. Something happened that I knew well, and it was very painful. This man left his wife. She was pregnant 8 months. Pregnant. She had a three-year-old daughter, and they left. He left her, walked off, went to work, never came back. So then after school, after six and 7 years old, went to start his school, he came back looking for the kid and the wife and wanted to try to reconcile, and she was different. And that's fine. She didn't want to reconcile. But she hid the kids till they was teenagers so he could never see them. This man put in the bank, what it was called in this state, not California, another state, the requirement of child support. Every month he put in the bank for his two children, when he left home, child support. One of the children said to me some years ago, she said, just before I left Chicago, said, I have $48,000 that my daddy put in the bank for me for child support. And for my sister the same. But my mother said, you don't need it, don't get it. Just forget about him. He's no good. And I said to her what I said to you. I went in my pocket and I had a $20 bill. I said, honey, what does this look like? She said, that's a 20. I said, you think it'll spend? She said, sure. I said, if this 20 will spend, 48,000 will spend. You get that plane and go where he is and get that money and hug him and kiss him. You can't do nothing about what he did all those years ago. Now he want to reconcile and forgive you, get you to forgive him, and you love him. The other sister would never accept nothing. Even when he died, she wouldn't go to his funeral. And she died broke. And the reason we go through that stuff, we don't want to deal with reality. Think realistically. Practice realistically things. Amen. Amen. The boy says, I've done everything, Daddy, for you. And now you are mistreating me for this lost, wasteful son. You see, this sounds like Baptist people. Many Baptist people, and I'm telling you what I know, when people come into church because they have messed up 10 years ago, they don't want them around them because they done got next to Jesus but not with Jesus. When Jesus are in you, when Jesus are in you, George, you might not want to come, but you'll come here. Where did George go? You might not want to come to church, George, but when Jesus are in you, you start waking up early in the morning because there's something on the inside got a hold of me, and I can't let it go. You quit fooling yourself about Jesus. Amen. Well, Brother William, that's what I was asked last week. Brother William, when you get to the point you can't take care of yourself, who's going to take you? I said, that's not my business. I said, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And then I have a master who would see to it, it would be taken care of. But I can't live phony on earth and wait till I get down and want a holy God to come take care of me. I have to walk and talk with Jesus. Amen. Well, it must get awful lonely for you all of these years. You don't have a wife. I shocked you, because you would never say this. I had a wife, and sometimes I was lonely. Not lonely for the wife, lonely for me. I wanted to go back with my parents. You're different from me. I was in Chicago in December the 18th. I'll never forget it. The first year I went there. The next day it was 30 degrees below zero. I said to my brother, I'm going back home. I wasn't used to that. But I had a home to go to because I had a daddy that loved me. I don't love my dad. He didn't do nothing for me when he was young. My Jesus, if he didn't do nothing for you when you were young, now you're 40, you owe him something to teach him what he should have done.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
What are you teaching him? Uh-huh. Amen. 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 I've helped a number of couples get back together to overcome what you know you're guilty of. I'm going to ask you a question. Ladies, since the men is labored, a lot of them, the majority, that's what the words I hear, they are lazy, they're no good, they didn't like their family. What did you contribute? What did you contribute? Well, he run around. Maybe he ran around because he didn't have no rounds at home not to run. If I got a bed and can't sleep in it, I'll find me another one. I'm not going to have one can't sleep in it. Amen. So here this boy, his daddy said, I don't care what you think. The daddy, he wouldn't come out. He went in and tried to talk to him.
Right.
Now here's somebody demonstrated real godly love.
Real godly love.
He says now, he was lost. Bring him back. Go in that room and go in there and get the best robe I have.
Yeah.
And then you go out on the lot and look at the best, fattest calf I have.
Yes, sir.
And kill it.
Kill it.
And call the neighbors in.
Yeah.
So we can celebrate.
Yeah.
He once was lost.
Once.
But listen what the Father, this is. But now he's what?
Wow.
Now listen to me tell you, theologically, everybody in this church, everybody on radio land, in radio land, on television, you once was lost. And you quit acting like you've been holy and lived on holy, holy, holy avenue and sanctified boulevard. You came from a hideous background, but God had mercy on us and saved all of us. Since he saved us, forgive people. Love them. Forgive them. I went to Folsom to see an associate of mine. When I met him when I first came here. He used to drive and give me a ride to work. He went to Folsom. I went 3 or 4 times to see him. Somebody said, well, you know he's no good. I said, that's right. But I'm no good either if it hadn't been for the good Jesus. I'd be right in here with him. You won't say that. The only reason half of you all are not in jail because of the mercy of God. His mercy.
His mercy
helped us. Is that right, Ruth? Say it louder.
Amen.
Okay, I don't want to hold you too long because this is Father's Day. And so the Father. Welcome. In those days, it was against culture rules for a father to hug another man to hug a man. And he not on, he hugged him, and then he kissed him. Amen. Some of the members at the old church said, my son got involved with drugs. And he said, Pastor, you should put him out. I said, I can't. I got to keep him trying to help him. They said, well, I would. I said, but you're not his daddy. I'm the daddy. And if he can't, I went and got him. Brought him back and ran water in the tub and told him to get in the tub. And while he was in the tub, I fixed his breakfast. Not because of what he had done, but because of the love I had for him. No way I could love God and hate him. It's mixed. We're mixed up. We're mixed up. You going to tell God you love him and hate people that you see every day? The Bible said that is impossible. Can't do that. Well, in the last story, and I finished my notes, the last story, I was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And a young lady came to that city from another city, another state. Nice looking woman, dressed nice, but she didn't dress according to the weather. So she ended up in a cold, and they used to call it years ago, she caught TB, tuberculosis is the name, but they call it TB. So they put her in an institute. In those days, they did that. And you had to get permission to go see her. So she went downhill, got worse and worse. So we was notified, and we notified some people that knew her. And nobody could find her family because she wouldn't tell them. But listen carefully, church. Listen carefully. Finally, one day, she hollered out and called her mother's name. And someone said, well, what do your mother live? And she told them. But she thinks I'm dead and I'm not able to go home. Somebody called her mother. The mother, the next day, was in Chicago. Went to see her. She put a thing over her head so the girl couldn't identify her. When her mother got there, this lady said, I know your mother. Shall I notify her? No, I don't want her to see what condition I'm in. Because I did everything she told me. I did the opposite. And the doctor said, you have only a matter of weeks to live. This is reality. The mother pulled that thing off and said, I am your mother. And I came here to take you home. The mother got an ambulance, a hearse, whatever it is, and they took her home from Chicago back to Greenville, Mississippi. After 6 or 7 months, the mother nursed her back to life. The mother would have been like some folks, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to catch TB. But you see,
Talk, sir.
I wish I could say it like I feel it. See, this water is in this glass. It will never get to my mouth unless I put it there. The mother didn't think about dying. She thought about saving her child. Long time ago, Jesus left heaven. He didn't think about all what he had. He thought about all what had been lost. Adam had messed up the world. Jesus said, prepare me a body that flows with blood. I go down and save mankind. I'm glad he came. Because if he hadn't came, I'd have still been lost. So if Jesus could save me, you ought to be open to try to save somebody else. This is Father's Day. The Father represents the Father in heaven. You don't have no patience with your children? Go and see a psychiatrist. They'll help you, and if they won't call me, I'll make an appointment, I'll help you. You cannot ever forget what he's done for you. Pastor Williams, we're in trouble. We don't know what Trump's going to do, and I'm not worried about it. I slept last night 7 hours. I don't know how many he slept. My job is not Trump, it's me. How much am I communicating to God? How much? And friends, the 37th Psalm is the Psalm deals with security to those who trust in the Lord, and it deals with insecurity of the wicked. Amen. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. Proverbs 23:17 said, let not thou heart, my friends, thy heart leads you to do wrong. Proverbs lets us know, my friends, that God is the center of our life. If we let him, he'll give you something you never had. That's joy that never runs out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And in closing, listen carefully today. In closing today, we are living in a changing world. The weather has just changed. 100 degrees, tomorrow 103, 104, and 105. The city downtown has changed. I met the other day with a group of policemen, and they're changing the whole structure. Everything you do is changing. But the last time I heard, I'm God, and I change now. So I tell you tonight, this evening, friends, let me say, true, genuine, God-given, heartfelt in depth is God's love. His love. His love has influenced far beyond human comprehension. It reaches far and wide, affects everybody it comes in contact with. God's love, it can span rivers and mountains and oceans and, my friends, anything it comes in contact with. God's love. God's love. There's no love like God's love. Well, you know, Reverend, she loved me so much, and I'm just whatever. You can be thrilled all you want to, but when the thrill is gone, what's going to happen then? Help me, Holy Ghost. What is going to happen when the thrill is gone? Well, I'll tell you what will happen. If you got Jesus, the thrill will never leave you. Every now and then, the more you pray, the more you get worked up. There's something inside of me. Sometimes I wonder if it's moving around. I can't see it, but I feel it. I can't shake it, but I can touch it. When you get this Jesus who never changes, you'll change. Your life, your personality, your giving, your loving, your sharing will change. The more the Lord bless me, the more I hand you something. You say, but he didn't bless you to help others. Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
He never blessed me to hold it to myself. I must expand to bless somebody else. A few years ago, and I'm through, a few years ago, before I came here, the doctor said, no way, no way you would be living the next 2 weeks. I was at the emergency, and he said, we can't do nothing for you. I had a breathing problem. And I kept thinking, why am I having a breathing problem? Something is wrong. I said, Lord, just help me to find out what it is, because it wasn't me. Come to find out, it has something to do with the apartment I lived in. But you see, come here. I didn't know what it was. But early one morning, when I went back home to die, someone was checking the building, and he says, "You know, there's a leak in your floor that comes from the basement. And every time it gets over full in your house, it's going to block your breathing." I said, "What?" He said, "Come here, let me show you something." By 25 years old, he showed me the leak. I hear what you're saying. I hear you. You said, "No, you were lucky." How come some of the other folks died wasn't lucky? I wasn't lucky. I don't ever, anything I'm blessed with, I'm not lucky. I asked my God, "What are you teaching me?" And when I am not blessed, I said, "What are you teaching me that I should learn?" Friend, 2 or 3 weeks I'd be dead. Feel in my hand. Am I alive? They are all dead. That's why I plead with you. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. I walk with him. I talk with him. I praise his name because he's worthy. I said he's worthy. He's worthy. Early this morning, not you, he woke me up, closed in my right mind, and started me on my way. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. There's nobody like this praising Jesus. You can believe it if you want to. You can believe that houses and land would make you happy temporarily. What you going to do when that's over? Amen. Gentleman just went, put him in a convalescent home. His house has been put up for sale. $1.8 million. Listen to what I'm saying. Have a house, $1.8 million, and he's in a convalescent home. There's nothing wrong with him having a house. It's just that he couldn't worship it. Now he can't take care of the house or his wife. It's up for sale for them greedy children. Fighting over the house because what it's worth. And I said to her, "Go back and change your will." Sitting around waiting for mama to die and daddy to die. Get your lazy self out there and get you a job. Only what you do for Christ will last. Brenda, you sing that. Will you please move? Not some things, only. You say, "I come to church every Sunday." Is that what you're doing for Christ? Then you're blessed. If you're coming for tradition, hopefully someday you'll find him. Because he is available. Only what you do for Christ will last. Buy houses and land, ships and boats, but only what you do for Christ will last. Fathers, not what you accumulate, not what you have or what you know. Only what you do for Christ will last. If you're here today, just move out of your seat. Come and accept him as your personal Savior. You'll be blessed. You will be blessed. Only what you do for him will last. Will you come? Will you say to him, "Yes, Lord"?
You may build
only
skyscrapers grand and tall.
Oh, yeah. Will you come today? Will you come?
You may build.
Will you come?
Skyscrapers grand.
Will you come?
And tall. conquer all the visions of your past. But only what you do for Christ will last. Remember only what you do for Christ will last.
Will you come? Only will you come. This time, would you lead us in prayer for us to give God his tithes and offerings?
Let us pray. Eternal Father, we come before you again to say thank you. God, thank you for your provisions and your protection throughout the week. Now, Lord, as we prepare to worship you through giving, we ask that we be reminded that everything we have, it comes from you.
Thank you.
Now, Lord, we ask that you bless your tithe and offering, that it would uplift and increase your kingdom as you see fit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the period for our tithes and offerings.